Open up your Bibles to the book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. Yesterday, Brother Ayala took me and another brother out to eat for breakfast. It was great, and the place, he was telling me all about the place, and you know, and how they'd come from you know, really small and small, you know, beginnings and whatnot, and how they've grown so big, and now they've, you know, big cash cow here and everything, and it was really neat. And then I asked him where the bathrooms were, and he told me, oh, they're down there and around the corner, and you know, back in the back there. And I was teasing. I said, oh yeah, is this one of those restaurants where, you know, you walk into the taqueria, Spanish restaurant, and it's a closet. You know, you walked into a closet, and you know, you got to get out of the way, you know, to shut the door before you can, you know, use the restroom. And you know, if somebody comes, you don't have to lock the door, because when they open the door, they hit your knees, because you know, it's that small. You know, the sink's directly in front of you and whatnot. And I'm making these jokes, and he's like, oh, no, no. And the other brother tells me, no, it's big. You know, it's a big bathroom. It's nice. And so I go and take care of my business. And I'm coming out, and I'm strutting through the restaurant, you know, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And then Brother Ayala stands there and goes, are you kidding me? I can't take you anywhere. I've got, like, this long streamer of toilet paper on the back of my heel that I walked through the entire restaurant, you know. People were looking and smiling, and I was thinking, like, hey, amen, yeah, good to see you too, yeah, oh, yeah. You know, it was, no, I'm just going to leave that unplugged, okay, because I'm going to kick it out again, I'll tell you that. But yeah, you know, so that's kind of how I feel sometimes, is, you know, coming from nothing and just, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I've got glory to look to and look forward to, and it's, you know, this big, you know, great thing the Lord has in store for me. And but along the way, you know, I gotta, you know, make sure I'm humbled, you know. But here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, the Bible tells us this: for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I'll read that again. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your goodness, grace, and your mercy, Lord. Fill me with thy spirit from on high, Lord. Look after our preacher, bless him, raise him up, Lord, and anoint him. Oh, Father, I pray that you'd please, Lord, look after our loved ones, take care of them, keep them safe, Lord. But dear God, we ask that now you'd meet with us in a real and special way, Lord. Please, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask all this. Amen. Now, I start with that verse because, of course, you've got to start with the right foundation if you're going to build anything. Anything whatsoever. And here we're going to discuss, we're going to talk about us. Us. Now, if you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, we're mentioned here in 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll start in verse 1. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, this is us, ye also, this is those that are saved, those that have been born again, ye also as lively stones are built upon a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, this is Jesus Christ, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him, believing on Christ, believeth on him, shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Verse 5, I want to bring your attention to that. It says, ye also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible here likens us to stones, to bricks, to these rocks that are being used to build up a spiritual house. Now, this morning I preached about how, you know, I mentioned that how you're the temple of the Holy of God. You know, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, you're bought with a price. But here, God is trying to build something. He's trying to build something, and he says it's a spiritual house. And he wants to do and make something. He's the chief master builder, and what he's going to be using are some stones here. And he says that we're lively stones. And these are some things about, like, what kind of stones are you? We'll see some of the things. If we look into the book of Nehemiah, don't go there, I mean. But if we look into the book of Nehemiah, it talks about one of my favorite builders. Nehemiah, he was the cupbearer of Artaxerxes, I believe it was. And Artaxerxes saw that he was kind of sad. He was distraught. And he was like, what's going on with you? This is not the way you normally come and serve me here. Now, he was a captive. He was actually a captive, taken captive, and a slave. He was working here, and he was the cupbearer. And then he ended up telling him, well, you know what the truth is? I mean, we've actually been told that we're supposed to serve the Lord in this place, and it's come to my ears, and I know that the temple, that Jerusalem, that the walls are broken down, that it's constantly being, you know, rampaged and just, you know, destroyed, and it's saddening because that's not what God intended for us. God intended that we should serve Him there in that place, and so then he was given command that, hey, you can go ahead, take some folks if you want to go. I'll give you even a writing that you'll go back and you'll build. I'll even get some materials for you. Go back, take people back with you and start doing some building. And he did so. And when he was there, immediately he began to get some resistance on this building. He began to get some resistance. You know, Sanballat and Tobiah, the Ammonite, then came to him. They even started to mock him. They saw the Jews. They saw them beginning to build the walls, and they began to mock him. And they it must have been such a destruction and the rubbish that it was talked about. It said that the bearers of burdens were so wearied. I mean, they were so wearied in building and working and moving all the rubbish so they could rebuild the walls and whatnot, that, you know what, they were kind of, you know, not defenseless, but they were pretty much, you know, a target. Because they didn't have the walls, they didn't have these defenses. But see, God wanted this to take place. God was in this work. And so then he got together and they started working, and all of a sudden, like I said, there was the resistance of Sanballat and Tobiah. They came up and they started mocking and said, oh my goodness, what are you really thinking you're going to build here? I mean, you're going to build some sort of a wall, and I mean, even a fox, you know, some fox is going to come up and kick it, and it's going to fall down. I mean, they begin to mock them. You know, later on, they then begin to try to coax them out, say, hey, you know what, we want to meet with you, we want to talk to you, we need, you know, Nehemiah, we need to talk to you. They begin to send word back and say, hey, you know what, these Jews, they're actually building this walls, they're rebuilding, because they're going to rebel against you, they're going to rebel. And the truth is, the king had already known that they went. He actually gave them writings to go do this work, to go build these walls. And you know what? They then set guards, armed men that would hold all the weaponry and hold the shields and hold everything, the weapons, while the builders would work. Some men would probably even be holding a spear in while they're trying to build. But you know what? That must have been some sort of a work, a hard work to take place. And let me tell you something. We here at Liberty Baptist Church are trying to build something that the Lord wants. I mean, God is in this work. I mean, listen to me. Can I tell you, this building was not here. You know, they didn't buy this building on the property built. I mean, I saw a picture one time of my pastor standing on a slab in a jacket, you know, back in the 70s, a funny looking jacket. I don't know. I think it's in style. No, but he was wearing this jacket, his big, you know, what do they call, like a sailor's type, puffy type thing. But he's wearing this big jacket, and he's got material in his hands. He's working here to try to build so that we could meet here in this auditorium here. I mean, they were meeting in the back. Now, that was there. That was already there before, you know, when they were over at Latigo Plaza, that was there. But I can only imagine what the work was like when all of a sudden they're sitting there coming daily and seeing slowly the slab being poured, the plumbing put in, the walls begin to be built, you know, the trusses, these pillars, these columns. I can only imagine what it would be like. Now, the truth is, I see it now, and I can't see all the work that's in the wall. I mean, I can see the finished work. But let me tell you something. God is trying to build a spiritual house, a holy temple, and he's using us as lively stones. He seeks to save folks so that he can build. So he can build this spiritual house. Now, Nehemiah, he faced some trouble. He faced some hardships. You see, one of the things that you're going to see that you'll face in building a wall, I mean, if you try to actually build up some sort of a wall, is, you know what? It doesn't usually stand on its own. I mean, you take it and you set up a rock or a brick and you set another one. Guess what? You may get somewhere. You may start to get it up there. But then you know what? It begins to start to teeter. I mean, anybody in teen church that's done the cup game, cup stacking game, you know, one cup just set out a little bit too far. All of a sudden, the whole thing starts to lean. And we are on the side and we're looking at it going, it's leaning, it's about to, and then all of a sudden it comes all crashing down. You know what? One of the things that you'll face is if you don't have something that keeps those bricks together, that bonds those bricks together, bonds those stones. And you know what? When you're building a wall, guess what they have? They have something called mortar. They have mortar, or how do they say it in Spanish? Mezcla, you know. I mean, I'm standing right there as they're building these walls. I'm an electrician by trade, and I put electrical boxes in the wall, and then I add a piece of pipe, and they build some bricks up, and then I add another piece of pipe, and they build. And they're making this. So these guys are explaining what they're doing. I mean, I'm seeing them slinging up bricks. I mean, throwing bricks to each other. Taking shovels full of this mortar and slinging it. And I mean, the truth is, if I get too close, I get that on me. I mean, I get the mortar on me, the mezcla on me. It's like, wait a second. Come on, this is kind of, you know, dirty work here. You know, I'm an electrician. I don't get dirty, you know. But these guys are going at it, and this wall is just going, and they're just like walking across, and then they set up some scaffolding, and they climb up there, and, you know, and then they just keep going until all of a sudden they top it off, you know. And I'm like, wow, that was really neat, and I'm looking at it. But there's this mess. I mean, I'm talking, there's this mortar that's just all over the base of the wall that slid down the wall that they've got to go and brush it off and scrape it off. Sometimes it's dried and they got to scrape it off and then they got to brush it and stuff. But there's all this mortar left over. Well, you know what? The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, if we'll go over there. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 3, it says, end devouring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. End devouring. So we shouldn't be biting and gnashing and chewing on one another to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond. Oh, wait a second, that's endeavoring. We should work at this, work not to eat each other up. You know, I mean, we need to keep unity and peace. You know, we need to bond. That's one of the ways that a church is going to stay together, is if we have some unity and peace. I mean, we're supposed to, the Bible tells us, endeavoring, you know. It tells us that we're supposed to work at this. I mean, and it's not easy. I'm telling you, it's not easy. Oh, yeah, you know what? I get along with just everybody. Really? You do, because we don't get along with you. I mean, no, I'm just, you know. People that tell me that, say, I don't have a problem with anybody. I'm like going, right here, you got a problem with me. I mean, I just don't tell you. No, I mean, no. The truth is, we have to work at it. You're not always going to agree with everybody around you. Sometimes they're not going to do it the way you want it done. That's just the way it is. Recently, I faced a situation where I was like, no, that's not the way I do it. That's not the way I do it. No, that's not right. And then all of a sudden, you know, of course, the Holy Spirit then brings scripture to your mind. You know, if you put it in, the Holy Spirit can use it and brings it to my mind. And I'm like going, oh, wow, what an idiot. What makes me think I'm doing it right? What makes me think that they're doing it wrong? Who am I to say that? Who am I to judge another man's servant? Wow, you know what? I got this wrong. I got this all wrong. You know what? If I'm going to have peace, I'm the one that had to change and say, whoa. Or I could have just kept the strife and contention and just start trouble. When the truth is, sometimes, you know what, you got to realize, who am I to be the one to make the decision? Who am I? Why am I the one that's right? I'm really nothing here. I mean, I'm very privileged. I'm very privileged to be in the have the opportunities or in the place that I'm at. You know, I could be locked up. I could be in the ground, and then the Lord, you know, He's just done with me and has me, you know, serving Him up in heaven. You know. But that's not the case. And that's not the case with you. The truth is, you need to work at peace. You need to work at having some unity. You know? If you know what? You don't think that they're doing it right? You have a problem with somebody? Guess what? Pray for them. Amen. Pray for them. I love those people that, brother, I'm going to pray for you to get right with God. And I'm like thinking, what? Wait a minute. I'm the one that's wrong with God? Hold on a minute. I didn't even know there was a problem. You know, you need to get right, brother. Amen. You're right. I do need to get right. I just didn't know it was about what you're talking about. You know, I guess I didn't know I was wrong on that one. But, you know, we need to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know what? In Colossians chapter 3:14, it says, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. I mean, if you're going to have a good-looking wall, let me tell you something, you're going to need plenty of mortar. Because bricks stacked on top of each other and no mortar, you know what? It's going to fall. It's absolutely not going to stand the test of time. It may sit up there for a while. It may stand for a while, but it's not going to be the perfect wall you're looking for. You want a good, strong, sturdy wall? You're going to have to use plenty of mortar to bind those bricks together. Now, I've watched these people, these guys get up there, these bricklayers. I've watched them take these bricks. I mean, man, they are just like masters at this. They take this brick and they take this thing called a trowel. It looks like the thing that Mrs. Wallace used to serve our cake pieces on, you know. She takes this and she, you know what? She probably ices it that way too. She takes it, slabs it, slinging these things. No, but they take this trowel. And they also, many times, they have this, what do they call it? It's a little piece of wood that's got their mortar sitting on it, you know, and they scoop it off of that stuff. I mean, they scoop it up like perfect, and they just lay this bead. They just, it's amazing, you know, it's kind of like me when I have my bread and I have my mayonnaise, and I just, perfect looking, you know, and then I bond it together with my sandwich, but they take that thing, and they go, and they just slap it on there. And then, many times, they'll take that brick, and they'll scrape it on the side of that brick. And when they lay it down, it bonds to the brick next to it. And then when they come across, then while they're grabbing like another brick, they're sitting here going, chick, 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 just laying a whole bunch on the top there. And then they're just slapping these things, just going and moving and moving. And like I said, there's all this stuff spilling out. Well, you know what? That's how much charity and love we ought to have for one another. Is there's so much spilling out that, you know what? People are going, wow, there's a lot of love in that church. Now I know that my son's going to come to me later and he's going to say, see, Dad, we're supposed to show love. Give me a hug. And I'm going to be like, oh, no, son, you're like a man, okay? I don't want you, you know, people might take it looking wrong and stuff like that. But you know what? The truth is, it doesn't have to be this ushy, gushy, you know, give me a hug, give me a holy kiss, you know. No. But we do need to have love and charity for one another. That's how we're going to be identified. I mean, you know what? This building that God's trying to build up, it's got to be bound together with some peace and unity. But love, charity, kindness towards one another. Instead of the things that it was telling us about, that we need to put away all these things with malice. With all malice, we need to put this stuff away from us. Anger, clamor, evil speaking, surmisings, all these things that we ought not to be doing and treating each other. I mean, you know, when somebody gets together with you and you're talking about how great the Lord is and you're praising God and you're talking about how good He's been to you, and then all of a sudden you say, you know that one brother though, yeah, that's where we don't want to go. You know, where we have to start backbiting and gossiping, you know. I mean, that's not where we need to go if we're going to have the right kind of building. If we're going to have something that's built up that God can say, yes, that, you know, Jesus Christ being that foundation, the chief cornerstone, this is my church here. These are my lively stones. And look at the bond that they have. Look at the unity that they have. Look at the strength that's there, because they have endeavored to keep the peace and unity. They keep unity and peace. And guess what? They're just bound in love. I mean, God loved us when we were unlovable. Now you say, well, my mom's always loved me. Really? Really? When you track that mud right across her, you know, clean floor, she loved you at that moment? No, she wanted to kill you at that moment, you know. But you know what? That's how we're gonna need a lot of mortar, a lot of these bonding agents, a lot of this unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace, a lot of this charity. Now, they're going to need a level when they go to build this wall. We have a standard of measurement. We have the Word of God. We have the 1611 King James Bible. This is our standard of measurement. As this wall is being built, let me tell you something. This is the basis. You know, somebody else comes along and says, I'm one of these lively stones too. I've been baptized. Well, amen. That's good. I took a bath this morning also. But have you been born again? Have you been saved? This is our standard of measurement. You know, the Bible tells us that, you know what, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you haven't been born again a Bible way, the Bible way, then you know what? You're not one of these lively stones. You're one of those stones that, as the Bible talks about, that stone which crushed the other to powder, it talked about. You better watch out. Disallowed by men. You know, not rejected. It was rejected. That was Jesus Christ. Those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, guess what? They're not part of this building. They're not. But they can be. They can be. If we just go out, reach them, show them a little love, show them what the Word of God, show them the measurement that we have here, the standard of measurement, the level, or a plumb bob. A plumb bob, they take this thing, sometimes these guys, they don't have a lot of money. Sometimes their tools are broken and beat up. I mean, they're just up there, and they're slinging these stones, and all of a sudden this guy pulls out this string wrapped around this piece of metal. You know, it looks like an arrowhead. You know, it's like, oh wow, that's an incendiary round. You put it on the end of a stick, and you fire that, and the thing's going to explode. And no, he just drops it, and he goes, and then, he just puts it on that wall. You know, usually he takes this little piece of wood and he clips it up there like that, and it comes down like there, and it's hanging there. And all of a sudden you can see the line on the bricks, you know, like if it's off, if it's not level. And it's like, oh wow, all he's using is string and that weight right there. That's pretty neat. He's actually measuring it according to, you know, not the visual measurement, like, oh, well, you know what? I think it looks straight, visually. He's actually measuring it according to the world around him. You know, when on a level, the bubble travels one way or the other, you know, because that's the way it is. That's the way the world, I mean, if it's tilted too far this way, if it's tilted too far this way. Now, the truth is, the world wants us to, let's use the measurement by what's around you. What do you see around you? Because you can take a wall that's been built using a level, plumb bobs, and guess what? He stood to that standard. He stuck with that standard of measurement, and he built it, and then set it next to another wall where they measured it according to the other walls. And guess what? You're normally not going to look the same. You know why? Because this one is built with the proper, true measurement, and the other one is just what the surroundings, what the environment, how everything else looked. I mean, if the foundation was crooked, well, now this wall needs to kind of be crooked so that it looks like it's straight. But it's deceptive. Well, guess what? We've got a standard of measurement. We can't, let's not detour. Let's not all of a sudden, well, it's not really working. Are you kidding me? Did it work for you? Yeah, it did. That's how my promises will be fulfilled, is through this book. You know? So please remember that. Now, also the Word of God talks about that the Word of God is like a hammer. In Jeremiah, it tells us that His Word is like a fire. And then it also tells us that it's like a hammer breaking rocks in pieces. Well, let me tell you something. We are not finished stones. We're not finished stones. You see, many of these stones that these builders get, these rocks and these things, they get these bricks and they have to adjust them. And this is pretty neat to me because they're very talented at doing this. They chip away at them. Yeah. I mean, and they're good. Now, unfortunately, you could tell the guys that aren't that good because they pick up a brick and they take that rock hammer and they go, bah, and the thing just falls there and shatters to pieces and they grab another one, start all over again. And I'm like, oh, wow, how many bricks are you going to destroy to get it right? I mean, they just keep smashing them up, messing them up. And then many of them are really, I mean, I'm talking they're good. They take the trowel. They take the trowel that they scoop up that mezcla, that mortar, and they take that thing and they, like, chop at it. Like, just tap, and this brick falls, like, perfect off. And I'm like, wow, how'd you cut that? How did you just cut that way? And then all of a sudden, it's amazing because they've got to get an angle. And they like, whack. They turn the brick in their hand, they just quack, and it falls off just like that angle. And I'm sitting there going, how are you doing this? And of course, you know, me being the way I am, can I try? You know, and then I smash a brick, and then I pick up another, smash a brick. I say, okay, I've cost y'all too much money. I'm going to stop here, and y'all keep doing what you're doing. I'll stand and watch here. It's talent. They got some talent doing that. Well, let me tell you something. You as a lively stone, guess what? Don't you think God knows exactly what he's doing? Don't you think him as the master builder knows exactly what you need to get out of your life? Don't you think he knows exactly what needs to be cut off, put away? Well, let me ask you something. How many times has the Lord convicted your heart about something? And if you're like me, oh, that's not God. Yeah, that's not God. That's just me. Yeah. But Lord, if you'll show me, if you'll let me know what it is that's in my life that's hindering this building, that's hindering my growth, me being the stone that I need to become, Lord, if you'd show me, I'll get rid of it. I'll forsake it. Or I'll do it. That's got to be me. That's not God. Why does he keep convicting me about this? Why does he keep speaking to me about this in this area? Maybe it's because what he's trying to do is create this perfect stone for this spot. Right. This one spot. The thing I like is whenever they get to corners. Whenever they get to a corner, or they get to jointing up something, or they get to the top, that's when you can really tell, like, wow, is this a good bricklayer? I mean, because you then look, and you're like, oh, wow, yeah, I could see. I mean, this was all fine. I mean, they got up so high. I mean, it's kind of, but now when they've got to make these, like, real precise cuts and these angles, and you see the edge, it's not so, it's kind of widening up. It's looking odd. You know, the top, it was a brick this thin, and all of a sudden over here on this other end, it's like this, it's a full brick, and you're like, oh, and it's not supposed to be like that, huh? Yeah. But see, God knows exactly what he wants you to turn out to be. You see, remember, he's building this house. This is his. You see, one of the things that we don't want to be is we don't want to be a rolling stone. We don't want to be a rolling stone, you know. I'm not talking about, what is it, a magazine or group or something like that. We don't want to be a skipping stone. We don't want to be one of those stones that, you know what, this church, you know what, they're starting to preach a little hard. I'm going somewhere else. You know what, this church has too many rules. Seems like, nah, you know what, I want a church that I can feel real nice and comfortable in, that, you know, I can sit, settle, and relax, and feel at home. Do you really think that rock in that quarry felt at home when it got jerked up out of that ground and got taken, cleaned off, brushed off, and chipped away and molded and made into this brick, this stone that's now got mortar all over it and placed in, put in place? No, that's not what that rock wanted to do. That rock was just happy, stagnant, sitting, doing nothing. Guess what? God doesn't want you to be skipping and hopping around. You know what? Find a church that preaches and teaches the Bible.
Amen.
And guess what? Does it without apology.
Right.
I mean, the truth is, if the preacher's constantly having to apologize to you after the service for stepping on your toes, wow. It's not that the preacher's got big feet. It's, you know, you're wanting to just relax and, you know, hang out everywhere. You know, on the bus route, kids will stick their legs across the seat, across the aisle on the other seat. And I walk up like this, and I knock their legs off. And then all of a sudden, I don't know why, but they go. In teen church, you can ask our boys, and our girls don't normally do this, but sometimes they do. They'll take their feet and put their feet on the seat in front of them. Now, the truth is, I used to do it as a teen. I used to do the same thing. But you know what? I don't want them to tear up the seats like that. I want them to, hey, sit up straight. Just, you know, sit there. You don't have to get all comfortable like you want to fall asleep. Also, you're tapping and jerking on the seat in front of you, and that guy's going, this, you know. And there's no music playing. I mean, there's no reason for you to catch your feet up there. So I'll look and I'll say, put your feet down. And they do it. Mad at me all of a sudden. I'm like, really? I mean, come on. Sorry, this church has a little bit of rules and regulations, and we kind of expect a little, you know, in you how you act, you know. But you know what? Don't be a rolling stone. Don't be one of those church hoppers. You know, be a holding stone. Be one of those pillars. Be one of those people like you get in and you don't quit. You just stick and stay. You stay put. You know, when I left Liberty Baptist Church and I was wayward and wandering, found no rest for my head, you know, guess what? I knew that at Liberty Baptist Church, Brother Block was still there. Pastor Nichols was still going to be there. The Craigheads were still going to be there. And guess what? When I came back, they were still here. I was like, wow. And then there were faces that all of a sudden I said, oh, I remember them. Mrs. Ruiz, yes. I remember you talked to me and you, I don't know exactly what you said, but you tried. Just wasn't listening, you know. I remember these people. They're still here. These are the kind of rocks, not skippers, not rolling stones, but pillars that just stick and stay and make it pay. Thank God for those kind of stones, because those are the ones that, you know what, sometimes us weaker stones, we want to crumble, we want to fall, but all of a sudden we fall on you and you're just holding your spot. You're not going to let it crumble. You're going to stick and stay. That's the kind of stones you want to be. You don't want to be a molding stone, you know. You see those stones, they're all mossy and got this mold stuff all over them. Guess what, those aren't the ones you want to be stepping on. Those are, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, let's go step on. Whoa, jaw's busted. You're, you know, going to the hospital and things like that. I've stepped on rocks like that. I've been like, oh, it looks kind of like grass. I mean, grass usually, you know what, I can step on this. You know, one in a riverbed that looks kind of mossy. But it's a big stone. And you know what? I mean, it's a big stone. I mean, it's not little. I'm stepping on this big stone. Boom, I'm in the water. Cannot believe it. It was like my foot never touched it. I slipped off so quickly. It was so crazy. Well, guess what? We're wanting to be lively stones. The Bible tells us we are lively stones. You know what? Let's get busy. Let's do something. You know? Let's not look like a deadhead. You know, I mean, I understand that some of y'all are, I mean, hard workers. I mean, the truth is, I really appreciate the fact that some of y'all, I know a little bit about you, and then all of a sudden, I see you in church Sunday morning, see you Sunday night, I see you Wednesday night, see you Thursdays. I mean, you're just like all the time there, and it's like, wow, they've got to be tired, you know. I mean, Brother Joplin up here, I mean, when he makes a mistake in any kind of the song service, guess what? Oh yeah, that's good. Nah, not even counted against him. Not at all. You know why? Because there's no way I could keep up with that. You know, I'm sometimes amazed that he doesn't, every time he sits in this comfortable chair, he doesn't fall asleep. You know, He gets up on time when he's supposed to, comes up here, leads the song, goes back down. I mean, he sees the order of service. I mean, it may be that he writes it down and prints it out and gives it to us. And, you know, I know the service because he gives it to me. I see it, the order of service. But you know what? That is not a moldy stone. You know, just not up for anything. We need to take up some, get some things for the buses or something like that. Yeah, I don't want to get involved. Yeah. They might expect it again. Yeah, I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to worry about that. You know what? God will take care of this. Yeah, he's good. Come on. Let's be lively stones. Don't be a stumbling stone. Now, this is the one where I have much difficulty. A stumbling stone. You know, the truth is you don't have to try to lead somebody really into something evil and wicked and bad to be a stumbling stone. Right. You don't. I mean, when you look at Paul, when he was talking about eating meat or eating herbs, you know what he said? You know what? As the world standeth, I won't eat, so long as I don't offend my brother. I was like, what? You mean to tell me, even though you have liberty and grace, and you understand that this thing offered unto an idol, it is no idol, you know, and you're giving thanks unto God, then, and you have no problem with it, that it was sold in the shambles. If this brother has a problem with it, you wouldn't eat it? I'm serious. I mean, I've seen slabs of brisket and, you know, and things like that, and it's like, oh, you couldn't keep me back from that, you know. I mean, but he wouldn't eat if it offended his brother. You know, try not to be a stumbling stone, you know. I mean, the truth is, now this is where it's hard. We're supposed to be a stepping stone, a flagstone. You know, a flagstone is laid out for the path. You know what? That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to try to help people in their walk. That's the kind of stones we need to be. Stepping stones. You know, but everybody looks at a stepping stone as, you know, oh, I'm being used, I'm being taken advantage of, you've made me your doormat. Every time I come to the doormat, it says welcome. It's inviting me to step on it. I mean, I haven't come to one doormat that says, don't you dare wipe your feet on me. You know, every doormat I've come to says welcome. And guess what I do? Okay. All right, let's go in. I don't go, ooh, don't want to get that. You know, guess what? We ought to be stepping stones. What can I do to help you? You know, what can I do for you? How can I help you better your walk? What is it that I can do that, guess what, you'll be benefited by? Rather than going, well, I don't want to be walked all over. Yeah, I mean, people are going to take advantage of me and just, you know, you make me a stepping stone, you know. Are you kidding? No. Those flagstones, guess what? They're there. You know, the path was muddy and slippery, but now they've laid out these flagstones so that you can walk the path a lot better. You know, it's a lot harder, a little sturdier. Some of you that have oh my goodness, some of you that have been stepping stones and flagstones here at Liberty Baptist Church that have gone on before us, that have been, you know, doing the work, praise the Lord for you. I thank God for you. It makes me realize that, you know, I mean, the truth is, there's been times when I've actually thought to myself, man, they're just taking advantage of that person. And then I realized, no, you know what? They're making themselves available. They want to be used. They want to be a help for somebody younger as myself or even younger, newer Christians to come along and stay in the path, stay on path, stay on track, you know, get a step up, you know. We're not to be stumbling stones, but stepping stones. Guess what? We're also supposed to be a sharpening stone. You know what? We shouldn't really get folks all dulled out. You know what? That's one thing that, you know, a new Christian, I mean, on fire for God, you know, a lot of times we got to dull them down a bit, right? We got to dull them down and say, oh, no, 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 you're getting a little way too fanatic. Yeah, you need to slow it down a bit. You know, did you know that a sharpening stone, the coarser it is, the more metal it takes away, the more metal it takes off. And you know what? A lot of times these new Christians, guess what? They are coarse. I mean, they're just brash. They uncouth. I mean, no tact whatsoever. You need to quit your smoking if you're gonna be saved. I'm like thinking, oh, really? Okay. Wow. I hadn't even said hi or where we're from, but children, they're very coarse and very, they don't, no tact whatsoever. You're buying cigarettes, Dad. They're going to go to hell. Okay. Yes, baby, they'll burn their, yes. No. But you know what? All of a sudden, we're like, oh, we need to get a little bit more tactful, and we need to get a little bit, no. You know what? They'll get that. They'll grow, Be a sharpening stone, Those coarse stones, like I said, they start with real rough and they start taking away metal. And once you get to where you want to be, you got the chips taken out. You got that real dull edge taken out. Guess what? You start using a finer stone. You start using a wet stone maybe. A wet stone, they take a wet stone and they soak it for like 12 hours. You can soak a wet stone for like 12 hours before you begin to start this process. And I was like thinking, wow, a wet stone. The Word of God, like water, washing the water. Wow, I need to be submerged in the Word of God. I need to be just filling my mind with it, reading it, meditating on it, studying. Why? So that I can help my brothers be sharper. Amen. When somebody comes to you and asks you something, guess what? It's not, I don't know. Let me see. That episode of Judge Judy said in this one instance, no. What's the Word of God say? Somebody even starts attempting a question, I start praying, Lord, help me to remember what I've read. Help me to remember something out of your word so that I might be a help to them. Give them what they need so that you might use me and deliver it to them. You know what? We ought to be a sharpening stone. You can take a knife and start from a coarse stone and sharpen, then take a finer stone and a finer stone and a finer stone until all of a sudden you come to one of these. I mean, it's just like, it feels just slick, just completely slick. And that's the stone that puts a mirror edge on it. I mean, it's just so fine and polished. It's amazing. We ought to be a sharpening stone. We ought to be one of those grinding stones. The millstone that they take and they put the corn and they start to, I'm in San Antonio. The mocajete, they take it and they start pounding it away in there and they start going like that. Brother Ayala, tell Brother Lira I'm ready to preach in Spanish church. Okay, they start grinding up like that, the mocajete, it's that little thing right there, the mortar. It's called a mortar and a pestle. And they, I don't understand why they make avocado in it, because in a bowl, when my wife does it in a bowl and smashes it and whips it, I can take my finger in the bowl and like get all of it. It just grinds my finger up when I do that in the mocajete, and when I do my tongue, it's like even worse, Come on over to my house for guacamole, please. She makes a delicious guacamole. No, just... But you know what? It helps to nourish, helps to feed. That's the kind of stones we ought to be. That's the kind of stones the Lord wants us to make us into. We want to be stones that are going to help to bring forth something to help nourish, bring health to. David, what did he pick out? He picked out five smooth stones. David and a G-Dog. Oh, sorry. Usually I preach in teen church. I try to come down and reach their level. G-Dog, Goliath, the dog, what? Am I a dog? You comest to me with staves? And, G-Dog, Goliath. But he picked five smooth stones. Now, he only used one. Now, you know what that stone was smooth for? It had no resistance as it flew through the wind. It had no resistance. So it was able to sail and fly. I mean, he didn't go, give me a big rocky, craggy, points and things like that. I want one of those stones to, no, that's going to, the wind's going to give it resistance. It might not fly straight, might not fly right. Well, guess what? These smooth stones that gave no resistance, he only needed one, though. I mean, God was in this. But you know what? He picked smooth stones that would not resist the wind as it traveled. How many of us are trying to resist? How many of us are resisting when we're asked to do something? We're asked to fill a spot. We're asked to step up. And we just resist when we should stop resisting. The Bible tells us to resist the devil. submit to God. I mean, it tells us to resist the devil. Now, guess what? Why do we keep resisting the work of God and in the work of God? You know, I remember when Brother Lear asked me one time, he came to me and asked if I'd lock up the church. And I thought to myself, whoa, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Every night, Sunday night, you come over here from Spanish church. You go turn off the baptistry. You go check all the doors and make sure everything's locked. And then you leave. You're the last person that leaves the church, except for the Wallaces, you know. But you're like the last. We ought to ask the Wallaces to lock up the church from now on. Just, but you know what I said to myself? I said, oh, no. Uh-uh. No, I don't want to be that guy. No, 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 no. And then I said, why don't you ask Brother so-and-so? He's not married. Whoa, I cannot believe that. Now, this is a long, long time ago. Mrs. Joplin's like, shaking her head at me. I feel bad. But this was a long time ago. I'll have you know, Miss Joplin, he asked me, sent me a text and asked me if I'd do it. And guess what? I'm going to be locking up the church tonight. Okay? But I did put on there, tonight only? No, I didn't. No, I didn't write that. No. But you know what? Why resist? Brother, if that's what you need me to do, that's what I'll do. And if I can't do it, then I'll try to get somebody to fill the spot and do it. Or I'll let you know, I can't do it tonight. Could you take care of it this night or this evening? Why not? I mean, we do stay here pretty long. You know, we do hang out in fellowship for quite some time. You know, why not? That's why now, don't tell him, but if he asked me, but he's got to come and ask me, so don't y'all tell him, like, hey, go ask Brother Pigeot if he'll start locking up the church from now on. He'll do it. He's locked in. We've all heard him. We've all witnessed him. But no, we shouldn't be so resistive when serving God. Listen, the truth is God's trying to build something here. What kind of stone are you? The Bible tells us we're lively stones, built up as in spiritual house. God's trying to do something here. Be pliable. Be willing. You know, I understand that these statues and these things, these columns and these pillars, that they didn't always look the way they look. It took some work, some chipping, some shaving, some sanding. But you know what? Some of these things you look at and you're like, oh, that is beautiful. Whoever put their hand on that and took the time to work on that stone, that marble, it's absolutely amazing. What do you think God wants to do with you? Huh? What do you think he wants to do with you? Why don't we let him do it? Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your goodness, grace, and your mercy, Lord. I pray that you please, Father, help us to realize, Lord, that you love us, you care about us, Lord, and that you want to do something with us and create something, Lord. We thank you so much for choosing us amongst so many, Lord. You've called us out, Lord, unto our salvation, Lord, and we thank you for it. Father, I pray that you please, Lord, help us to be willing, Lord. Help us to